This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session was first published in the month of September of the year 2020, and it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is being found in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. And if you have the scripture available, you'll find these words recorded. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." The title of the message is, "There is a Knock at the Door." The message for this month has to do with something that all of us do just about every day, and that is, when someone knocks at our door or rings the doorbell, we respond by either asking who is it, or we just open it to see who it is. In these days and times, it is almost a must that you find out who is at the door before you open it. Otherwise, unless you have a steel screen door that is also has to be unlocked before someone can enter, you could be putting yourself in danger. Well, this message has to do with this same scenario, and how the consequences that take place have a far greater outcome than you can even imagine, because the results will last for eternity. Now, obviously, there is nothing that can happen to you physically short of death that will determine your eternal destination. After all, once you depart this life, that's it. However, your eternal destination is not determined by your death. It is what your spiritual condition is at the time that you live here that will determine that. And that is what I want to address in this message. If we look at what Jesus is saying in the subject verse, we see that he is telling John to write a letter to the church of Laodiceans, telling them, among other things, that he is knocking at the door. Now I want you to look at this part real carefully. Here he is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God in the flesh, who is the creator of all things and is all-powerful and can do anything he wants to do. Yet, he is knocking at the door. What he is showing us is the fact that even though he is all these things and more, he respects each of our individual rights to privacy and does not want to force himself on us. This is real important because it shows his nature and sets the example of how we are saved, we that are saved should deal with others, especially when it comes to sharing the gospel. Each of us that are saved needs to remember to respect one another, whether saved or not, when we are witnessing for Christ. The quickest way to turn someone off is when you try to force them to either listen to you or do what you say that they need to do. There are a lot of Christians today that tend to believe a person that they are witnessing to has to accept what they are telling them right there, and they will literally hound the person until they submit to what they are being told to do. That is not how it is supposed to be done. Searching the scriptures, you will find 2 points that let us know how we should be going about this task. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, the Apostle Paul says, "We that are saved are workers for God to accomplish the same purpose, and that is to draw people to Christ. And the way we should go about it is one of us plants a seed or a word from Christ in the person's mind and move on." Another one comes along a little later and waters that seed with another word from Christ and then moves on. And as time passes, the word or seed that was planted will accomplish what it was designed to do because God will see to it. The idea is, as is explained in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23, Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 20, and Luke chapter number 8, verses 5 through 15, the soil that the seeds fell on is that it is Christ and God who will make those seeds that were planted in the individual's mind to produce the desired outcome of conversion. I specifically want to look at the version that this story in the Gospel of Mark above, where after he told them the parable of the sower, he later inquired to what it meant because they didn't get it. Notice they inquired of him to get more information. What this means is, when you plant a seed in someone's mind, depending on the person and their reception of it, they will either reject it or they will seek you or someone else out to get a clearer understanding of that message. Now, as to the knocking, as I mentioned, Jesus knocks. He doesn't force his way into our hearts. Question is, how is a person to know when it is him that is knocking? That is simple. Anytime someone tells you anything about Christ in person, in something that you read on the TV or radio, that is him knocking at the door of your heart. And it is your response to what you were told that will determine what path you are on and where you are going. Think about this for a minute. How many times have you, in a moment of distress, asked God what should you do, or why did this have to happen to me? Well, when you ask that question, God responds by sending someone to you, or by providing some other means to get the answer to you. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse number 7, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Verse 8, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Now the ball is in your court as to whether you were serious about your question or whether you were willing to listen to his answer. I find a lot of people, including Christians, that fall into the category of not wanting to hear what God has to say if it does not agree with what they think the answer should be. The last thing anyone walking in a carnal mind wants to hear is something that puts the blame for their situation on them while they are busy blaming others for their problems. I know the signs because I used to be one of them. I had a foreman that was a minister that used to try talking to me about getting saved. He would tell me that I was a sinner, and if I wanted to get to heaven, I would have to turn from my wicked ways, in other words, repent. Now, he didn't say it in a harsh manner, but in a friendly way. My response was to stay as far away from him as possible. When I would see him coming, I left the area. I wanted nothing to do with him outside of what was required for my job. That was Jesus knocking at the door, and I didn't want to open it up for him to come in. I was so bad that Jesus would be knocking at the door and I would open it and invite all the devils that were behind him in, then shut the door. Devils like fornication, partying, gambling, hanging with all sorts of individuals like pimps, prostitutes, and the rest of what we call back then the in crowd. But the time came when things got to a point that I had to seek this same preacher out to deal with a problem that me and my girlfriend at the time were having. Once again, he told me the same thing that he had told me before, and this time I opened the door and let him, Jesus, in. It took me some time after that to decide to make the changes in my life that he said I needed to make for things to straighten out my life, but I finally did and haven't looked back since. But the thing is, I had to get myself straight first. I was always putting the blame for things on that were going bad in my life on other people and things, including my girlfriend, who later became my wife of 40 years. The thing is, Jesus wanted to clean me up, so I had to let him in my heart to do it. That is why Jesus says he wanted to come in and sup with me and me with him. Supping is a terminology that means, among the obvious things, talking things over about your lives and other personal matters that you don't readily talk about in public. And this is one of the main problems we have. We don't want to talk about personal things, many of which are leading us to our own destruction with anyone unless they are really close to us. You know how at dinner time the family used to sit down together and eat while discussing the events of the day in each of their lives so that could help each other build a stronger bond with each other? We don't have much of that today, because everybody is busy doing their own thing. When he says, if anyone hears my voice, he is talking about recognizing it. This carries with it the fact that he doesn't get up in your face, making a spectacle of himself, calling you all types of names and trying to embarrass you. The Bible puts it like this in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 12. It says, he was a still, small voice. If anyone is hollering or making a lot of noise and calling you names, you can be assured it is the devil. If you don't believe it, just look around at all of the violence that is perpetrated by those that feel they are right, burning and tearing things down, wreaking havoc all over the place because they want people to do something and they want it now the way that they want it. That doesn't sound like sitting down and discussing things the way Jesus would do it. in fact, mention his name to them, and you better hightail it out of there before you get assaulted or worse. And the sad thing is, a lot of Christians tend to believe this is the only way to get justice. Paraphrasing James chapter number 4, Jesus through the Apostle Paul put it this way: our problems stem from the fact that we want to feel good about ourselves, and the only way to do that is by putting others down, thus making ourselves superior to them or them inferior to us. We want things and God won't let us have them because we want them for all the wrong reasons, so we try to take them by force from those that have them. Notice I said God won't let us have them. What I am saying is, if he won't give them to us, there is some other entity that will, and that is the devil. The devil is always willing to provide you with whatever you desire. However, it will come at a price. Just about all of us have heard the term selling your soul to the devil. Well, that is exactly what it boils down to. He will provide the opportunity for you to get what you want if you will do what he wants you to do first. And since the only things he is interested in is in St. John chapter 10, verse number 10, it says that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He is setting you up for your own destruction. Anyone that opens up the door for him to come in is going to have to do something destructive to others and in opposition to God that will eventually bring God's punishment on them. All the time I hear people, many of whom claim to be Christians, talking about how God blessed them to hit the number or the jackpot, get the promotion they wanted, even though they cheated to get it, and got the man or woman of their desires, even though they were already married or some other thing. God does not work in situations like this. Some even use Bible scripture to back up what they believe, which is most certainly not going to put you on the wrong side of God quick, because you are trying to publicly tie God into your foolishness, leading others to believe that God will do it for them as well. The point of this message is quite simple. In order to hear God's voice, you need to recognize his voice. And the only way to do that is to get to know him for yourselves. Just as a baby gets to know their own parents' voice and respond to them. While rejecting a stranger's. Well, that is the end of our message for this month, and I hope that you picked up some little tidbits there. Like I say, a lot of these messages that I give you You may not be able to catch everything all at once and make sense of all of it at one time, but the little bits and pieces you get from each and every message, they all will essentially tie in together to give you a fuller picture of what the Word of God is saying to you as an individual, not necessarily to the world or other groups of people or even your family members. It might just be to you, and you pick it up, you study it, pick it up, inquire about things, ask questions, and you watch and see how God will move in your behalf to provide you with the answers. But you also have to have a willing heart, because like I say, in a lot of instances, people will be asking God about certain things, but they only want to hear answers that go along with what they think the finished product or the finishing answer should really be. And in some instances, God has to tell them no, or no, not now, or for them to have to wait a while. And then that requires you to have patience, long suffering is what they call it, where you deal with things over an extended period of time. All of this, basically what you're doing is showing God that you have matured enough to wait for Him to provide you with whatever you needed or need in your life to get you through. Well, that's the end of the message. And as in closing, as I always say, to you and yours, may God bless you and your family real good until we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.